Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Our Father, we thank You for the blessings that You bestowed upon us. We thank You for Your love and Your mercy. And most of all, Father, we thank You for sending Jesus to be the atonement for our sin. We give You praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, sometimes as we go to church, especially if you've gone to church for a long period of time, you hear certain things from the Bible. And maybe you were taught them in Sunday school as a child or whatever. And somewhere along the line, you kind of get it a little mixed up, you know. And somebody gets up and preaches one day and you'll say, funny, I don't remember it that way. And then you go look up the scripture. And lo and behold, it isn't quite exactly the way that you remember it. And I know one of the things that seems to happen with is the lamb and the lion. You know, you can go into a Christian bookstore, you can see on the internet places where you can buy little figurines and stuff that are of Christian nature, and you can see figurines of a lamb and a lion. You can see pictures of a lamb and a lion. And we talk about the lamb lying down with the lion. And one Sunday, somebody preached the lamb and the wolf. What? Turn pages through the Bible. Lo and behold, Isaiah 11:6. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid. And that's referring to a baby goat. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And then we jump to Isaiah 65:25, where it says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. And there is a ministry out of Texas called Lamb and Lion Ministries. And I thought, what is the significance, really? I've never really thought a whole lot about it, quite honestly. What is the significance of the lamb and the lion? And lo and behold, there is great significance, more than the fact that they will just lay down together someday, or that they shall eat together, or that they'll get along. And you know, that's one of the things right now, people crying, can't we all just get along? And I remember back a number of years ago, they had some riots in Los Angeles, California. And it happened to be over the arrest of a gentleman by the name of Rodney King. And I remember him appearing on television after the riots started saying, can't we all just get along? And that's what people need to do. We do really need to get along. And there's a lot of agitation going on out there, and a lot of things being stirred up that don't need to be stirred up. You know, they want to forget the past, but yet they want to drag up the past and not let it go. And I realize things happen that shouldn't happen. But we need to get along. And Isaiah is prophesying here, the day is going to come when all creation is essentially going to get along. So what about the lamb and the lion? Well, in Isaiah has many prophecies of the Messiah that is to come. You know, he's talking about the fact that someday there's going to be a Redeemer, a Messiah, one who will deliver us from our sin. In Isaiah 53, and you need to read the whole chapter, but we can just deal with a couple of verses here, where he's talking about the Messiah that is to come. Beginning with verse 4, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." He's prophesying what's going to happen to the Messiah that is still yet to come when he made this prophecy. And hundreds of years later, Jesus came, fulfilled these prophecies. Isaiah goes on in verse 6 and says, "And we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." I want you to think about it. We, like sheep, have gone astray and have turned everyone to his own way. Look around you today. Everywhere. It's my way. My way. It's what I want. It's my thing. I don't care what you want. I don't care what you have to go through. It's for me. And we have become the me. Not only the me generation, the me people. Everywhere, it's all about me. Turn to our own way. Only what's for us. Only what's good for us. I don't care if it hurts somebody else. You've got it. I want it. I should have it. That's what we hear today. And he says, "He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." Brought like a lamb to the slaughter. Now in Isaiah's day, lambs and other animals, but lambs in particular, were brought to the temple to be sacrificed for the sins of those who brought them. When a lamb was brought by, let's call him John Doe, to sacrifice for him and his family, it was only sacrificing for the sins of him and his family, not for the rest. It was only for him. And this continued on for hundreds of years. Oh, but thank God, God had a better plan. He had a better way. Because then we read in John's Gospel, beginning with chapter 1, verse 1 through 4, "And in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men." In the beginning was the Word, Jesus. In the beginning. In the beginning, he's preparing for all of these things. And then John goes on in chapter 1. He writes about John the Baptist here. Verse 29. And it says, "Then the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." I want to stress here that you need to read all of this first chapter here, because we go from what John the Apostle is saying to what he's talking about John the Baptist. And as John the Baptist is talking about, because people have questioned him and saying, John, are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we're looking for? And John says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one you're looking for. I'm just his forerunner. I'm just out here to tell you about him. But he's coming. And then in verse 29, behold, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Then it goes on in verses 35 through 36, and the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Once again, John proclaims that Jesus is that Lamb of God. He is the one that has come to take away the sins of the world. Now, I don't think any of them at that time realized or even thought about that this meant he would have to die for their sins, because they thought he was going to come back and take over and become king, that he was going to physically rule over them. They weren't looking for it in the spiritual nature, that he was there to take away their sins. Behold, the Lamb of God. And then we read on as we go into the book of Acts in the New Testament. Jesus has died on the cross. He's been the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb. His blood has been shed. I was reading a little article just yesterday about the crucifixion and the blood that was shed on the cross. Jesus gave his life. Then 3 days later, he resurrected from the dead. And now he's ascended back into the heavens. An angel has spoken to those that are watching and saying, why stand ye here gazing? This same Jesus will come again. The apostles have been filled with the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. Now they're beginning to spread out. In Acts chapter 8, one of them by the name of Philip is talking about here, and it says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So now, Philip's been there. He's been filled with the Holy Spirit. He's listening to the voice of God. He's being obedient to what God speak to his heart to do. And suddenly, the angel of the Lord says, arise and go toward the south. Doesn't tell him what's going to happen, he just says, go. And sometimes that's the way God speaks to us. He just says, go. And he'll fill in the details as we go or when we get there. Sometimes we just have to be obedient and go. And it says then in verse 27, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasury, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So apparently, he was a proselyte Jew. And he's come to Jerusalem to worship, but now he's headed back home. And the next thing he knows, here's this guy by the name of Philip standing next to him. And he begins to talk to him about it. Begins to read the scripture. And then in verse 32 it says, he reads here, the place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. Here the apostle Philip presents to this eunuch from Ethiopia that Jesus was the Lamb of God. And he was led to the slaughter for the sins of mankind. If you go on and read, the Ethiopian eunuch says, well, I accept this. I must be baptized. What's to prevent me from being baptized? And they found some water. And Philip told him, and I want to point out here, just being baptized is not what brings you salvation. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, invite Him into your heart and life, and mean it with all your heart. And then you're baptized as the outward sign of what you've done. He gets baptized. The Lamb of God. The Apostle Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, writes, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, without blemish and without spot." Remember, the lambs that were offered at temple sacrifice had to be without spot, without blemish. All those who were offered, whether it be the lamb, a pigeon, a bullock, whatever, it had to be without blemish and without spot. And he's saying the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish, without spot. I want to read that same verses to you from the New Living Translation, second edition. "For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere gold or silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Forgiveness of our sin, having them covered over and remembered by God no more, is available to every human being. All we have to do is say, "Yes, Lord, I accept. I take you into my heart. I take you into my life. And I want to live for you." The Lamb of God has come. The Lamb of God has paid the price. The Lamb of God has made salvation available to everyone who dwells on planet Earth. But unfortunately, not everyone accepts. Not everyone welcomes Him into their heart, into their life. Well, that's the Lamb. Let's talk a little bit about the lion. We go all the way back to the book of Genesis and a man named Jacob, who later on in Genesis chapter 2 verse 28 says, "And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." So we're reading here, sometimes when we read the word Israel, especially in the Old Testament, it may be referring to Jacob. And then let's go ahead now to chapter 49, verse 1. "And Jacob called unto his sons and said, Gather yourselves together that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. Come here, kids. I've got something to share with you. I'm an old man, but I want to tell you some things that are yet to come. Some of these things he's telling them are going to happen in their day, and it's going to happen in days that are yet to come." You know, there's a ton of prophecy about the end times in the Old Testament, going all the way back to the book of Genesis. And he's speaking here to one son in particular in chapter 49, verses 8 through 12. We're going to start with 8 through 10. "Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he crouched as a lion, and as an old lion, who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from beneath his, between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. I want to read verse 10 from the New Living Translation. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from his descendants, until the coming of the one to whom it belongs, the one whom all nations will honor. In other words, Judah, your descendants, from your descendants is going to come the Messiah, the one who is going to rule over all. He goes on and says, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine, he washed his garments with in wine. I believe here speaking of the blood and his clothes and the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. Speaking here of the eyes being red. And I want to point out something here, because we read in Revelations chapter 1 verses 13 through 14, the coming king, when Jesus comes back to rule and reign for the millennial reign, here's what it says. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. He's describing Jesus there. Back in Genesis, what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back to rule and reign. And then in Revelations 2:18, and it says, unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Prophecies of Jesus getting ready to come back and set up the millennial kingdom. All the way back in the book of Genesis, the lion. The lion was the symbol of authority. Even today, the lion is the symbol of Great Britain and was the symbol of the British Empire. The lion, considered the king of beasts, the ruler of the jungle. Lion, symbol of authority. Revelations 5, 1 through 5 says, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. What did it say? The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book. Revelations 5, 6 through 8 goes on to read, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the altar, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. The Lamb, the Lion, the same. Jesus is the Lamb of God, but Jesus is also the Lion of Judah, who's coming back to rule and reign here on planet Earth. And one day we're going to be part of his kingdom, and we will rule and reign with him, the scripture tells us. Yes, the lion and the lamb. one and the same. Then in chapter 19, 11 through 13, "And I saw the heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he did judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Jesus, the sacrificial lamb that came to take away the sins of the world, is coming back to rule and reign here on planet Earth. And those of us who have accepted Him as our Messiah, as our Savior, as our Redeemer, are coming back to rule and reign with Him. Because it goes on then in verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed Him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of His mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it He shall smite the nations, and He shall rule them with a rod of iron. And He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of God Almighty. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." The King is coming. The Lion of Judah is coming. And those of us who have accepted His salvation will be coming with Him to rule and reign with Him. So yes, there is great significance to the Lamb and the Lion, because they are one and the same. Jesus, the sacrificial Lamb, who's coming back to rule and reign. And we, as those who have accepted Him, will rule and reign with Him for all eternity. And maybe you're listening today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I want to tell you right now, today is the day. Simply repeating a prayer doesn't get you there. I want to make that clear. Just repeating a prayer doesn't get you there. Because I've known people that repeated prayers, just did it to please somebody, and they walked away just as lost as they did when they came up. But when you say, "Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, I accept You as my Savior," and you mean it with all of your heart, He's there to come into your heart. When you have truly opened the door, He will come in. The Bible says He's knocking at the door, and if we open the door, He will come in. He's waiting for you to open the door. Jesus, I ask today that if there's one listening to this program right now that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, that they today would open the door and let Him to come in, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sins of the world and is coming back as the Lion who will rule and reign for all eternity. I give You thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated.